Today I'm going to be going through Acts, and this is actually the last Sunday I say that because we're going to finish it up, finally. I know, it's been a long time, but I wanted to go over a few things that we talked about last week, and then we'll get into the last couple of chapters. But last week, we saw Paul, and he was in chains, and he's talking to some very important people about his experiences, what's happened, the fact that he's been falsely accused of all kinds of different things, and he's professing to these extremely important people, Roman governor, King Agrippa, all these different people. And he's the most important thing is he's professing Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, that everything that he's talking about is all about Jesus. And he stands before this governor, and he proclaims the gospel, and he believes it with every fiber in his being. He talks about how, again, he was on the road to Damascus with murderous intent. This was not a man who loved Christianity. This was not a man who was kind of teetering back and forth, and I'm not sure. He was murderously intent on ridding the world of Christianity until he had this encounter with Jesus, and it changed the complete trajectory of his life. And we talked about how, you know, throughout his life, Paul was rejected and condemned by his own people for what he talked about. He was warned not to preach on these things, but we talked about the fact that Paul said, look, God came to me and told me to do these things, and I have to obey man, or obey God rather than man. And he's proclaiming this to everyone, and this is one of the major points that a lot of the Jews didn't like, is the fact that he says, this isn't just for the Jews. I need to go to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles do not have to become Jewish in order to be saved. And this causes a huge disparity. But this is why he particularly wrote, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female, all are one in Christ Jesus. End of the story. He even almost convinces King Agrippa to become a Christian. And even the king and the Roman governor proclaim that there's no fault in Paul. Nothing is wrong with Paul. There's no reason why he should be in chains. As a matter of fact, they would have set him free, except that he called for a trial by Caesar. So now their hands are tied. He's heading towards Rome. So now we're going to go ahead and go to the conclusion. Finish up Acts 27 and 28. But first, let's pray. Holy Father, I thank you again for these stories. I thank you for you preserving them so that we can learn more and more about you, and that we can see what you've done in the past so that we can be full of hope and faith in what you can do now. So bless this time, bless these words, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So here's the thing. Typically, what I do, which is probably why it's been so long, I'll go through the scriptures, and I'll kind of go line by line. There's a bunch of different things. I'll kind of pick it out, and then we'll kind of talk about it. Here's the deal with chapters 27 and 28. There's a whole lot of traveling. It is a whole lot of Paul stopped here, Paul did this, Paul went on this ship, they stopped over here, they did this, they did that. So I'm going to do something a little bit different, but I do want to be careful before we begin and let you guys know that I, as a pastor, am never going to come up here and tell you that any part of the Bible is not important. This is not me cherry picking anything. This is not me ignoring things, because we need to be very, very careful. That whole religions and cults and all kinds of different heresies have come up because people have cherry-picked the Bible out of one little spot, taken it out of context, and caused all kinds of problems. So I want you guys to understand that. But I didn't feel led to go line by line this time. There's some scriptures I do want to highlight, but I didn't feel like God was telling me to go all the way through everything. So what we do here is we see Paul going through his travels in Rome, and he's being put on a ship to start his voyage. Now, there's multiple stops because there's not a travel liner specifically to different places like Rome. You kind of had to wait, and you got on a ship, a cargo ship, that happens to be kind of going that direction. And then you wait at that port, and you kind of wait for a ship to kind of go in that direction until you get to your destination. So this is kind of what's happening with Paul. And so he's kind of waiting on ships. And Paul makes one of these stops, and this is the first scripture that I do want to highlight. And it's Acts 27:3. And the next day we landed in Sidon, and Julius, this is a centurion in charge of Paul, treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go with his friends and receive care. Now, does anybody remember the last 2 years who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Sorry. Star Wars reference. My bad. It's Luke.
We all went
there. Yeah. Every time I hear that name, Luke, Aunt Beru. Anyways, focus. But it was Luke. He's the same guy who wrote the gospel, Luke. And before the Bible is the way that it is now, the Gospel of Luke and Acts were actually one big book. He kind of combined it. He had the two of them together. So notice in this, it says, we landed. We landed here because Luke is currently with Paul. He's experiencing everything with Paul because Paul received favor and kindness from his centurion guard. Paul is allowed to be attended to and receive friends and care and support, which is not normal for someone in his position. Even though he's not necessarily a condemned man, he's still in the custody of Rome, awaiting trial before Caesar. And I've said this before, Rome has never been known for her kindness. Rome had an iron fist. They did not treat people kindly, especially those within their custody, especially those who've been arrested. And yet, this is a miraculous act of kindness due to Paul's godly character. He has shown his integrity and resolve to these people, and they have given him honor and respect, even within chains. This is why he writes, repay no evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with all men. This is why it's important to remember this in the world that we live in. Watch your character. Watch what you say, watch what you do. Make sure everything that you say and do is something that God wants you to do. Make sure that is something that God would be honored in doing. Because here's the thing, Paul didn't become great friends with the centurion and show how much of a great guy he was just so that the centurion will be easy on him. I mean, that's just kind of a byproduct. It wouldn't only be willing to listen to the gospel that the centurion, as Paul treats people with respect and kindness and a godly character, he's more willing to listen to the gospel, maybe. Not only that, but this miracle happens so that Luke can be with him and record everything that's happening. So that generations after could know and be strengthened by what God did during those times, as we're doing here today. And again, we have to start understanding that it's not all about us. It is not. It's not about what advantage we can get and what blessing we can simply attain just to have it. God usually gives us those things for His glory and purpose. And for the person next to you, even an enemy. And I have to tell you guys this. There is not one single human being on planet Earth that is truly your enemy. There's not. It's not the humans that are the problem. We are to express care and love and grace the same way God expressed care and love to grace to us. Because again, we were once in enmity against God, and yet He sent His Son for us. And there's not one human being, even though they might stand up and proclaim how much they hate Christianity, or how much this, or how much that, or they can't stand you, or they're going to yell and scream at you, or they're going to persecute you and cause problems. Again, remember the early church. Christianity was, when you're a Christian, you are under threat of death. And yet those are the people that Christians reached out to and said, but believe in Jesus and be saved. We have an enemy. One enemy. And that's Satan. Who wants nothing but to destroy us. We are to show the world care and love the same way God showed care and love to us. So Paul obtained this favor with the centurion in charge of him, and then his journeys continue. The next scripture I wanted to highlight is in 27, 9 through 10. Now much time was spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was over. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Okay, I really wanted to point this out, and I thought about skipping it, but I couldn't. But, you know, we see things in the Bible, and oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes we will over-spiritualize it. Okay, here's Paul. This is Paul going, you know, you hear him and he says, "I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster." Oh, how prophetic. Holy Spirit must really be talking to him. The Holy Spirit is warning him of the dangers and disasters. That's not what's happening. Okay, there's no indication here that God has warned Paul of what's going on. There's no indication that the Holy Spirit has given him a special message. The special message Paul is receiving is from sheer common sense. Sheer common sense, which is from God, but still. You see, the fast it is referring to is the Day of Atonement, which is October 5th. And the dangerous season for sailing began around September into November. So Paul, a very well-traveled man, knows this. And so through his own knowledge and common sense, he's trying to say, "Hey guys, it's probably not a good time to sail. I think something bad's going to happen. We need to be careful." And I point this out because I want us to understand as believers and as Christians that God wants us to use the brains that He gave us. He has given us common sense. And I say this because not that long ago, because I don't know if you know, but we had a pretty big election. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. But during all of this crazy time and all these different things, I found some videos of these Christians. There was some political rally. I don't even know what it was. But they were getting up in these videos and they're saying, a demonic entity is in one of these political rallies and we have evidence. And they show this lady, I'm assuming, and all the stuff. And they go, "We have evidence because We have put an ultraviolet light on the video, and you can see the heat changes and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Common sense would dictate ultraviolet light doesn't work on a screen. This is why some people think Christians can go off the rails. Okay, common sense, guys. Common sense. Please, please use common sense. Proverbs 3. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They will keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. Common sense is a good thing. It is from God. Let's all remember to use it. The next scripture I do want to highlight is this. Acts 27, and it's a little long. So what's happening is Paul and this crew, they're on the ship. There's mass chaos. There's the storm, just like Paul said. Everything is going on. And so they're like, great, we're all going to die. This is a really bad thing. And this is what happens. After a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. That's Paul's way of saying, I told you so. Anyways, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told to me. So now we see God speak to Paul. He's like, it's all right. Got yourself into this mess. Don't worry, I'm going to get you out. Not only Paul, but the people who are with him. Because, spoilers, God cares about everyone. And so he doesn't want to just save Paul. But why is that? Why is God trying to save Paul? Is it because Paul is God's favorite? Because he's just so awesome and amazing that God can't help but bless him and protect him and keep him alive? What is it about Paul? Well, you find it in verse 24. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought to Caesar. To quote the Blues Brothers, Paul's on a mission from God. He's on a mission. Okay, Paul is supposed to go to Rome. God has already told him he's supposed to go to Rome. This is his purpose, and it will be accomplished. That is why God is going to spare Paul from this deadly storm. It's why later on in chapter 28, we see Paul get bit by a poisonous snake, and he doesn't die. Now again, remember those cults I talked about? There are certain Pentecostal religions that will then take snakes into their services and say, look, I'm so blessed by God, I can handle these poisonous snakes, and I can do all this stuff. And about 8 out of 10 times, a lot of those preachers die, unfortunately. But the point is, I want us to understand and not take God's provisions and protections and blessings lightly. He's not a genie in the bottle that you can use for your own advantage, that you can pray, God, give me protection so I can do whatever it is that I want to do. Again, God loves us. He takes care of us. We're his children. But more importantly, his will be done. If he has called you to something and you've said yes, it will be accomplished. I mean, spoilers, eventually Paul does die. He kind of gets his head chopped off. But that's because Paul's mission was complete and it was time for him to go home. Every single one of us who are followers of Jesus are on a mission. We are called to something. This place we're in now, the things that we have, the things that we do, is not the goal, and this is not our home. We're here until the mission is over. Paul understood that idea, and he would follow Christ even unto death if that was Christ's will, and that's why he wrote to live as Christ and to die as gain. So Paul continues his journey. There's a shipwreck still. The deadly snake happens, and he finally makes it to Rome. And he actually wastes no time. He's got all this liberty. So he goes to his fellow Jews once again, and he begins to tell them and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. He again goes to the Jews because this is right and proper, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. Not only that, but Paul has a deep love for his people and a strong desire that they would know the Christ. He wants his people saved. But unfortunately, once again, like normal, his fellow Jews argue and then reject their own Savior. So Paul walks away from them and continues on his mission within Rome. And then here's how the book of Acts ends, 28 through 31. This is Paul saying, Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. When he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with confidence. And no one forbidded him. Again, this is a miracle of Christ, because technically what he was allowed to do was illegal in the Empire of Rome. They knew he was a professor of Jesus. They knew he was a follower. And yet they didn't stop him from preaching it and spreading it. During his time in Rome, this is where most of his letters are written. This is where most of the things are happening. And he spends 2 whole years in Rome. And this is the final conclusion of our time in Acts. 2.5 years. About the time he was in Rome. I mean, a lot can happen in 2 years. And I want to point something out, because a lot has changed since we started this series. I mean, a lot. The most significant change, at least for me, is I started this series as a married man. Now I'm ending it as an unmarried man. And I want to point something out. One of the things that you learn as a widower is you always bring an elephant into the room when you walk in. Can't help it. Now that time has passed, a lot more people are beginning to be a little bit more comfortable with me and wanting to approach me and ask me certain questions that I'm sure have been on their minds for quite a while. And I get it. I want to tell you a story. This recently happened to me at my secular job. You see, a while ago, obviously it was Halloween, and me and a coworker had to go pick up 25 pizzas for our Halloween party for the clients over there. And we're just driving down, and we stop, and we've been talking, and she asked me, she goes, Can I ask you something that I've been afraid to ask you for a while now? I've been getting this a lot. And I said, sure, go right ahead. She goes, how do you still have faith? How do you still believe in all this? How are you still even a pastor? That was a heavy question for a Little Caesars parking lot. But prepared in season and out of season. So I prayed for a quick second, going, Holy Spirit, you got to say these words, because, whew. So I stopped for a minute, and this is what God gave me. I told her, because ever since the fall of mankind, the world has been a really crappy place with a lot of crappy things that happened, and a lot of crappy things will continue to happen. But none of that will ever or has ever changed who God is. None of that takes him off the throne. He is God in the good times, and he is God in the bad times. And it is precisely because of my faith that I'm still here. It is only because of him. I say this because the book of Acts is a long period of time with a lot of different people. There's great and miraculous highs, and there's terrible and evil lows. But in everything the early church went through, they always kept their eyes on Jesus. God's purpose was fulfilled and his kingdom was proclaimed. So many things changed for the early Christians except Jesus Christ. Because I say this almost every Sunday, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God who brought them through their hardships as the one we worship today. And he will get us through our hardships today, and he will be with us in great highs and terrible lows, because his will, in fact, will be done. And it's our generation's turn. I guess I'll include the boomers too.
Wouldn't be here for us. Come on.
Never mind. Anyways, no, but it's our generation's turn. It's our time to pick up the same torch that our fellow believers thousands of years ago did. Amen. We're here to proclaim the light and the gospel of Jesus Christ until we die or until he comes back. No matter what, no matter what we come across, no matter what happens. And I'll end it with this. If you get nothing else out of this series in Acts, get this. God is always faithful. Amen. He is always consistent. And he will be with us to the very end, even in our darkest moments. As Paul says in Hebrews, because again, Paul wrote Hebrews. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Holy Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you so much that even in the darkness and even in the great light, you are still with us. That your word is preserved and proclaimed for thousands and thousands of years. And we ask you, Father, to help us to take up that mantle as our brothers and sisters did before us. That no matter what, we keep our eyes on Christ and we proclaim his good news until either you call us home or Jesus returns. Bless everyone in here in Jesus' name. Amen.